life and health and strength would give us. And I pray your good hand upon us this evening as we take this time, Lord, just aside from the word. Please bless the lifting up of our prayer requests, Lord, our praises, the reading and preaching of your word, and Lord, just the fellowship as well. Pray you for Norman's leg, whatever it is that's doing that, Father. I pray you for wisdom and help and healing with that. With other issues, Lord, legal issues. For Pat and Steve, and for Steve's health, Lord, a real joy to see him out last Sunday morning. For Will, wherever he is and whatever he's doing, pray to see him safely home if he's travelling up and down to Belfast. For Christine and Mary Ann, for Colin, wherever he is. For Frank, Lord, as he prepares for this surgery next month. And for his mum and dad, I know they'll be concerned about that as well. For Monica and myself, Lord, for all the times a gospel tract has gone out, a word in somebody's ear, or a Bible, please, Lord, speak to someone about the cannabis. I just love you and thank you, Father, and pray that you would minister to us and our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, whatever time zone, Lord, if they're preparing or preaching or singing or whatever, even now, please, Lord, I pray, be with them, minister to us, give us our daily bread this day. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for that and our private prayer requests, Father. Amen. 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 Right, we're going to start in the wee black books today. And we're going to begin with number 31. Number 31 is the King of Love, My Shepherd Is. We'll just remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
to Psalm 79 next. 79 is one of our so-called Christmassy songs, but it's a good Christian man rejoice. Not so much Christmassy as Christian.
Should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. Whereas I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Was that a joint effort with Mr. Lewis?
Yep.
Alright. I want to take a moment or two and just open the floor for any prayer requests if anybody has any. What colour are we on this bread? We're coming up on a new one then this weekend. Does anybody have any prayer requests? I'd like to ask for your prayer request for an uncle of Monica's, Uncle Donald, in America, of course, passed away there today, was it? So please do, is that D-U-N or D-O-N? Just pronounce. He was 89 years old and he had been suffering from dementia. I believe he was a saved man because he's the reason that Monica's dad actually ended up as an independent Baptist in the ministry. So he went to heaven. He was just having a rough last few years with deteriorating health, and he survived by wife and children, so please do pray for them. That is the Hayne family. Please do pray for them at this time. Unfortunately, Monica's mom and dad are not doing well enough to go down and visit or attend for the funeral, so we'd appreciate your prayers for them at this time. Anything else? Just pray for Norman and myself and Clive as we're doing some more blocking work tomorrow, so we'd appreciate your prayers there. It'd be nice to have a mild precipitation-free day, if at all possible, so we would appreciate that. Is there anything else you need to be thinking about? Can't think of anything. Anything? No? Works for me. Works for me. We will stop there. Let me just check my prayer request right and quick. I have Mark and Monica, Lynn, Steve, Pat, Will, and Norman. I think we all still have private prayer requests, yes, I? Alright, let's have a quick word of prayer and then we will sing another song. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, too, for the precious promise that we can come boldly into your presence.
And that we can bring.
That you want to hear about everything that we have going on in our lives, Lord. And there's a lot going on in the world. And I know, Father, there are things going on in our lives, and I pray that you would just touch each one of us, that you would provide for us. Pray especially at this time for Monica's family over in America, for Donald and Judy. For Judy, Lord, and the family that's left, in the passing of Uncle Donald. And for her mom and dad, Lord, them just not being well enough to be there. For Pat and Steve and health issues, well, for Norman, and the leg that's bothering him again. For Colin and his travels, wherever he might be. For Will too, Father. And I pray for Lynn, for Dr. Shannon, and for Frank at this time too. For all those that have been gone, for what's going on in the world, especially the families of those that lost loved ones in that school shooting in Nashville. And I pray you, Lord, Madonna, Lord, I pray you, Lord, that your will would be done in that woman's life. Father, we love you and thank you. We pray that you will bless Bethel and all those that attend it. And again, we thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please, please protect Israel. And I pray, Lord, that you will contend with all those that are set upon wickedness, whether they're great or small. And that you would bless all those that are set upon doing what you ask them to do, Father, great or small. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Just in case you haven't heard, there was a school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. A Christian school, a fella that was a trans, that wanted to be a girl, or a girl that wanted to be a fella, I don't know which way it was. But they took weapons into the school, and I think they killed 3 students and 3 teachers. So please do pray for the families of those teachers and students. But Madonna has decided that she is going to go down to Nashville and that she is going to do a concert for everybody that is transgender, lesbian, LGBT. I think she might get herself killed if she does that, but she will certainly, if she doesn't end up being killed by some outraged parent or citizen, she's going to kill her career just like that. Please do pray for all of those families. Amen. It is, we have come to the day when people don't even, are not even ashamed of the bad things they do anymore. Please do pray. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of those that evildoers that bring wickedness to pass. Right, we're into the big books. We're going to sing hymn number 202. We haven't sung this one for a wee while. It's called My Redeemer. Hymn number 202 in the big books, My Redeemer. We'll just remain seated.
I will sing of my redeemer.
hymnals, so we'll sing one more. 101. 101 in the big books, Jesus never fails. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. And if you're not, we'll just sing. As long as you make a joyful noise. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Start at the middle of the Bible and start moving to the east. There you go, to your right hand side. And you should get to Jeremiah within 3 or 4 books. Jeremiah chapter 35. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 35. I had a couple of titles in mind. One of them was, It Hasn't Gone Away. Another one was, Everyone is an Example. If you want to bear those both in mind and listen with me and follow along with me as we read and I bring you a few thoughts on the life and times of the Rechabites. Jeremiah chapter 35, beginning at verse number 1. The Word of God says, The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. I wish I'd kept that verse for you, Norman. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. And thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he had charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. Words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed this, the commandment of their father which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want for a man to stand before me forever. Amen. That is the story of the Rechabites. Have a quick prayer and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this further piece of reading of your word. And I pray that you would bless your time now. And thank you for the reading between Steve and Norman earlier on. And I pray that you would bless
our reading of Steve's week. And remembrance of it.
Please help us, Lord, now. Give us portions of wisdom, and I pray also for myself the words to speak. I love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. It hasn't gone away. We'll take that one. And everyone is an example. Here we have the Lord, through Jeremiah, showing the whole nation of Israel the example of the Rechabites. The Lord said to Jeremiah, bring them into the house of the Lord and set wine before them and tell them to drink. And of course, when they do that, the Rechabites refuse, saying, our dad said, well, not our dad, our father, in other words, the head of this particular wing of the children of Israel, said, no drinking, no drinking, no houses, no fields, no crops, and no vineyards. And everything that I'm telling you, you make sure that you do it. Now, I want to tell you something. It is implied there that their father was a God-fearing man, It's not just that they didn't build houses and they didn't sow vineyards and crops and things like that, that they were honored of God. It's because they followed their father even as he followed God, and that means keeping the commandments to the very, very best of their ability. And as they came and showed this example, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah again and said, speak to the people of Israel and use the family of the Rechabites as an example. They have listened to their father, a man on the face of this world, but you won't listen to me. Even though, do you remember, the Lord used to go before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night in the desert for 40 years, fed hundreds of thousands of them every single day with manna from heaven, brought water out of a rock whenever they needed it. They did so many miracles in front of them, and still they wouldn't listen. Even though, as the Lord said, he made sure and rose up early and sent prophets to warn people about sin and the consequences of it. But we know from the reading of the book of Jeremiah the weeping prophet, such a passion for his brethren that were being conquered for 70 years. All the years that they ignored God, they ignored the Sabbaths, and they worshipped devils, and never bothered turning up at church, and even when they did, goodness, they were up to all sorts of badness, and they were quite blatant and open about it. Does that ring a bell? And most of them thinking that if I go to church for an hour on the Saturday, everything will be okay, and I can do whatever I like. The Lord said to the Rechabites, you'll always be about. The name of the Rechabites will live forever. That's what he said. Now, the Lord gave the same promises to many men. You honor me, and I will honor you. Now, if you stop and think for a minute, when you start to put down roots, and you build a house, and you put plenty of rooms in it, you start to fill those rooms up with stuff. You'll have beds in a few rooms, and you call them bedrooms. You'll have chairs in another room, and you'll call it the sitting room. You'll have food preparation appliances in another room, and we'll not call it the food room, but we'll call it the kitchen. And you could have a number of other rooms for all different sorts of stuff. You even have a room for your car and your tools and stuff, and you call it the garage. If someone asked me right now to throw everything that you need to survive into a tent or into a backpack that you can throw in your back or in the back of a car, I can guarantee you that most of the stuff that I have would be left behind. I would take the important things, and the Bible would be one of them. I might take a tablet and my phone and a solar panel to charge it. I might even take Monica. Although she would probably have her own sleeping bags, tents, and things like that. But a lot of stuff would be left behind. And a lot of the things back in the day, they wouldn't be worrying about solar panels and phones and things like that. They would be, I'm sure, there'd be a few tools. There would be clothes, and there would be a few utensils and water carrying and things like that, and their tents and one thing and another. It tends to be more about necessity than luxury. It's the bare bones of what you can, literally of what you can carry or what you can move about. Certainly when you're living in a tent, you're not worrying about where running a bath, and you're not worried about where you're going to put the piano, or anything like that. You're concerned about somewhere to eat and somewhere to sleep, and maybe somewhere to sit with the letters back. The unfortunate thing, whenever the children of Israel started to build the houses, was that they started to emulate the people that they should have wiped out. God said, kill them all, don't leave any, or there'll be a thorn in your side forever. And of course, what happened? They didn't kill them all, and they were thorns in their sides, And they tempted the children of Israel away from the straight and the narrow on so many different occasions. They've done what God had said, life would have been so much easier. But if you actually have to put your shoulder to the grindstone, if you have a purpose in your life day by day, you're better off. You're occupied, your mind is busy, your hands are busy, and at the end of the day, when you complete what it is that you set out to do, you are happy. Happy being a byproduct of accomplishment. Joyful even, because you haven't offended the Lord, you haven't broken any of his laws. Children of Israel, they loaded up. They wanted what everybody else had. They planted their crops, they raised their vineyards. There was drunkenness, and many times in the Word of God, the Bible warns against drinking the fermented grape juice, the alcoholic wines and things like that. God said, no alcoholic wine or strong drink at all. And all the things that kept the children of Israel, kept God in the minds of the children of Israel, they were gone once they made it to Jerusalem. They had a city, they could wander about, they could do whatever they liked. The brakes were on, life got easy, and unfortunately when life gets easy, the devil seems to come in like a flood. The Rechabites, they stuck with the original plan that God had. And they found that maybe their lives were harder, they were closer to God. As far as they were concerned, all the commandments that their father had given them, and I'm sure he had many as an example, from fighting the peoples of the land for the land in which they traveled around, seeing them drunk and out of control, and even seeing the example in the people around about them in their own brethren. They stuck with the laws of God. They stayed with them. And it was easier to stay with God whenever they were busy, whenever they were worn out of a day after a day's work. No time, no energy, no thought to be up to Dublin. And that is why the Bible said, the Lord said even to Adam, he said, by the sweat of your brow, you will get food out of the ground. You will have to work for it. It will be better for you to work and to labor and then to enjoy the fruits of your labors. And we're only talking about a generation or two after the children of Israel were into the promised land. And thousands of years later, the commandments of God still haven't changed. They're still there. The Lord even said in Matthew chapter 5, don't you be thinking for one instance that all the laws and the statutes and the commandments that were in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, don't think for one second that they're done with. They all still apply. All of God's commandments and statutes are still in effect. They still mark people as guilty sinners. It doesn't matter whether you're a great sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're a little sinner, whether you murder people, whether you tell wee white lies, whether you look at someone to lust after them in your heart, or you're a raging out there homosexual or lesbian. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, and we're all still marked as sinners. You might be surprised too who in these days are marked as murderers with this free availability of killing our children in the womb being out there for everybody. Following the commandments never saved a soul. Commandments only said, do you understand now that you have broken God's law? James 2 and 10 tells us that if you keep the whole law but offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So whatever part of God's law you break, you have broken the law, and there is a death penalty for it. The Lord said, I am come to pay that penalty. I am not come to make them all go away. I am come to pay for them. There is a cost, there is a price that's due, a debt that's owed to God for the breaking of his laws, regardless. And if you don't have Jesus Christ to pay for that, how are you going to get away with that? What people tend to think, and I am sure over the next, what is it, about a week and a bit? It's only about a week now. It's Sunday week is Easter Sunday. With the whole world, well, at least this little part of it, will be stopping for a day. It'll be like Christmas Day, and most of the shops will be closed, and I'll have a day off. I'll not have to go up to the Crescent Link and preach, because most people will be away home after church. Most people think, because they're sitting in a church and the minister's telling them that Jesus Christ came into the world to give us life on the cross for everybody, they think that their sins are paid for, but there is, that's not a transaction, that's a deed that's done, that's a labor that's carried out. It still has to be accepted. It is offered to whosoever will, but the person still has to accept that. And it's not held in your hand, it's held in your mind, in your heart. And until you repent of, or indeed tear away all your sins, and make space for that payment, it's never paid. And that's why the Word of God still applies. It applied back in the day, because even David said, blessed is the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. In other words, blessed is the man that's saved by faith in God. It applied in David's day, it applied back in Adam and Eve's day. It would have been fine if they had, in faith, not eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it still applied in Jesus' day as he walked and preached these words. And it applied in at the tail end of John's day, whenever he wrote the book of Revelation. It applied in the Dark Ages during the Inquisition. It applied at the First World War and the Second World War. And it still applies today. Even though everybody and their auntie and uncle has their own idea of how things work, the laws still apply. The God's law still applies. It hasn't gone away. And you can do one of two things. You can do it God's way. You can repent of your sins. And you can trust the awful, awful suffering that Christ went through on the cross. You can trust that that is enough to pay for your sins. Or you can do it another way. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's pretty stark. And that's definite. He said, I am, that's one of the names of God. God is the way, the definite, one singular way, the truth, definite, singular, the only truth, and the life. It's the only way to really live now and into eternity. And nobody, even those souls that be wept over by lost souls, that is the only way that they get to heaven. Not by, after a wasted life, going and lighting candles or giving wee bits of paper to a man with a collar. That does not get a soul to heaven. It's being saved. And we still need that today. You're talking to a guy that keeps not up to date with, but abreast of all the technological advancements that are going on at the moment. And the big one at the moment is AI, although I think that's just a, hey, look at that over there, and they're robbing people blind over here. We have our smart cars, we have our smartphones, we have our smart devices, and we have our dumb people who are not listening to God. Because no matter how much technology you have, there does come a day when your life is over. And I double G guarantee everybody, every gadget, every penny, every luxury, every car, every house, everything that thrills you in this world, the colour drains away, the thrill disappears whenever you get closer and closer to eternity. And the only thing that is important is your soul saved. That's the only thing. The tail end of, or the second title that we had for the message this evening was, just double check and make sure, everyone is an example. The Rechabites lived in tents. Everybody else had their homes and their fields. And I am sure everybody pointed the finger at these people and said, look at those backward people. Look at those people that don't want to settle down. Look at them. They still live in tents. They don't have a drawing room and a sitting room and a garage and a kid's playroom and a kitchen and this, that and the other. They're so backwards. And we are so progressive. That's actually a bad word, no? We are moving with the times. And yet, for all of their denigration, is that the word? For all of the finger pointing that was done to the Rechabites, the Lord took and used those people as an example to everybody else of how it should be done. And the same goes for you and I. You would be amazed, the people that are watching you and listening to you. And you could be, if you want, if you let God, if you make a point of holding on tight, sticking to the stuff, God will use you too. Because there'll come a day when people that you rub shoulders with will say, but God, I had such a hard life. And they will. And God will say, I had length. She lived in the same part of the world. She did the same work as you, and she trusted me as her Savior. I had Norman. You went through the same things as Norman. Norman went through all of the same things as you. And he trusted me as Savior. Never say that about me because I have had such an easy life, but people will say, well, Lord, I never saw the need to get saved. Why should I? I said, well, Mark came from the same neck of the woods as you did, and he got saved because he realized he needed to be saved. You never know who's watching, or even if God will use you as an example to other people. Point them to the cross, or even just to say on the great white throne of judgment, you have no excuse. I had my children living with you and among you and around you for years, and they trusted me and they went on with their lives. You could have looked at them and learned. Be a good example whenever God calls. Let people see what God can actually do with someone that would say yes to him from time to time. I've got a couple of verses and then I'm going to finish with them. In Hebrews 13:5, this is what Paul in his letter to the Hebrews said about God. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And in Matthew 11:28, these verses you should know. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Stopping there, thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's sing a wee song, and then we'll be done. Thank you for... Yep, number 178, you should know this one. 178, Jesus loves even me. Right to stand, and you will hear joyful noise as he comes out of the service, for Jesus loves even me. watching over us, for saving us, and keeping us this sweet spot of sense and sensibility in a crazy world. Please be with Frank, Dr. Shang, Christine, Marianne, Colin, Will, Pat, and Steve, Norman, Lane, myself, and Monica. I pray you for private prayer requests. I pray you for the Hayne family at this time, too, as they mourn the loss of a husband, and dad, and granddad. Lord, we just leave all of these people, all of ourselves, private prayer requests to feet, and pray that you would grant them, according to your will, and comfort those, Lord, that's mourning loss. We love you and praise you. We pray for traveling mercies as we head home, and most importantly, for your will to be done. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless. Shake hands. And fellowship for a little bit.
We finished 5 minutes before church even started.
What?
Yeah. It's 5 to 7.
It's been the same.
If we could do that for real, we'd
be
all the same.
That again.
For real, would be on to something.
I hope we get ringing.
Oh well, I'll ring you at 8:15. That do?
I go home, yeah. I got a left phone somewhere, I can't find it.